Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we have an awesome show for you. This is the week after Shavuos, and we're going to be still talking about a little bit the aftermath of that holiday later in the half hour of the show. In this half hour of the show, we'll be talking with author Chana Schluss, who's written a book called Mikveh Meditations, what one should be thinking about when a woman goes to the mikveh, and we'll be talking about that and all the benefits thereof. It's a really cute book, and we give it 2 thumbs up. We have an eclectic assortment of regular, everyday, every genre of Jewish music possibly happening throughout the show, as we are not encumbered by limitations as what we can listen to. The portion of the week is Bahalosecha, which is Numbers chapter 8 and following. And we have a very interesting story at the end. You will stay for that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel's Knesset passed a new anti-terrorism legislation to replace all previous anti-terror laws a week after Palestinian terrorists killed 4 Israelis in a Tel Aviv food court. The bill defines terrorism as a harmful activity committed out of political, religious, nationalistic, or ideological motive and designed to sow fear or apply pressure on the government or international organizations. That's a pretty good definition. Terrorist attacks with large numbers of casualties or use chemical or radioactive weapons would receive life sentences. Israeli Ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danon, made history this week, becoming the first Israeli representative to the UN ever chosen to lead a permanent committee there. He'll be leading the United Nations Legal Committee. The committee manages all the UN's international law operations, including enforcing the Geneva Convention and coordinating the global fight against terrorism. Go, Danny. 14 teams of firefighters and firefighting planes are working to control forest fires next to Jerusalem's Har HaMenuchot Cemetery and in the Jerusalem forest. At this time, there are no reports of casualties or damages to homes. The Dutch Parliament passed a bill to ban funding to any organization that supports BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. The bill stopped short of banning BDS, as freedom of expression is guaranteed in the Netherlands and you're allowed to say what you want. A new Michigan law requires high school students to take 6 hours of instructions about genocide. The law specifically mentions the Holocaust and the Armenian genocide. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online author Chana Schluss, who has authored a book, Mikveh Meditations. It's a very wonderfully put together book of things to think about when it comes to intimacy. How are you today, Hannah?
I'm just fine. How are you, Herschel?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay. Intimacy. The word intimacy even means it's like private. So it's sort of like, can there be a book publicizing intimacy, meaning privacy?
Well, there can. There is.
There needs to be. Yes.
There needs to be in this generation. Once upon a time, traditionally, over the centuries, All of this information was transmitted from mother to daughter, or from, an aunt to a daughter, or someone close in the family. In the days when people lived in very tight knit communities, it was done on a one to one basis, and that worked just fine until recently. At the past 100-150 years, there were so many upheavals in the Jewish world with the pogroms in Eastern Europe and the world wars, when people found themselves uprooted and overnight and maybe separated from families on different, you know, thousands of miles from each other. And there was no longer the venue for people to transmit this kind of information. So unfortunately, there are many people in our generation who just never knew, and in the past couple of generations, who just never knew about the mikvah and about intimacy and how Judaism views it. And so many, a lack of information and misperceptions have cropped up. So there's become a need for a book like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll tell you something personal in my family. I have my grandmother, my bubby, was considered, not by herself, but considered by rabbis in the city of Newark, where we grew up, as being a religious woman. I remember rabbis with big beards coming in, they would eat in her house, and it'd be like, we always referred to these as tzedakah mention, and people knew they could eat in her house, keeping kosher was impeccable. She went to mikveh once in her life. Before she got married, she told me this story. She went to the rabbi, said, I'm not going to marry you unless you go to mikveh. Okay? Mm-hmm. No talks, no nothing, whatever. And then she said to me, if I want to take a bath, I could get cleaner at home. And she never went ever again. And mikveh was looked upon as something as like backwards and something of a thing of scorn. And none of her kids, who were all married in the 40s, even thought of possibly even dreaming about going to mikveh. And here it's having a resurgence. So if you could talk about this then, please, Hannah.
Again, it's part of the misperceptions. And I imagine that your bubby, who was such a special woman, clearly, didn't have the kind of education that she needed to get in order to appreciate the mikveh, and in order for the misperceptions to have been overcome. Nowadays, there are many women who go to the mikveh eagerly, happily, and feel that it's a wonderful thing in their lives all around, for their marriages, and personally, on a spiritual level, they feel anticipation, they're happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's back up. For our listeners, we're throwing around the word mikveh. Could you explain what a mikveh is?
A mikveh is a, simply, also called a ritualarium, and it is a pool. In this day and age, a beautiful, more often like a spa-like pool, and it contains a certain measurement of water. It's a small pool with stairs, and a woman goes into the pool, and she immerses, it's filled with natural water, either spring water or rainwater that's been carefully filtered and clean. It's sparkling clean, and she immerses in that, and it comes after the time a husband and wife separate during her menstrual period and for a period of time after that, and they have no contact, and then after this time is completed, she bathes herself carefully, and then she immerses in the mikveh.
Okay, so you mentioned the word spa. Actually, Detroit has, it's an Oak Park in the suburbs, has a mikveh. It's set back off the street. It's on a major thoroughfare, but if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know that it was there, because it is, there's high bushes in front of it, and the parking lot is concealed. I personally have never actually been in the building. My wife refers to this place as the Taj Mahal. It was, it is, she says, beyond any spa that she has ever been. So somewhere between, let's see, my grandmother was married in 1902. So somewhere between 1902 and 2004, which I think when the building was built, things have gone from, with mikvahs, from holes in the ground to Taj Mahals. So where would you say, Chanishlis, is there been this attitude change? Is it just because we're American and we don't do things like third world countries?
It's not only in America. If you go to Vietnam, which is not exactly America, you'll also find Taj Mahal-style mikvahs. Nowadays, all over the world, this is becoming prevalent, and because the use of the mikvah is on the upswing. Again, because we're dealing with intimacy, it's not something that everyone talks about, and they usually hear on the radio or in the press. But it's very common, and the mixes as they're being built now are trying to outdo each other in terms of features, beautiful features, so that women will be comfortable in every way to attend.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we're talking with author Chanishlis, who's written a new book called Mikvah Meditations, a wonderful insights into what's going on with going to the mikvah prior to times of intimacy. Let's talk about that word intimacy. That's something very special. I've often said that, and we've talked about in this show many, many times, that Jews are not into denial and living lives of not participating, but rather we live lives of utilization. That if it's in the physical world in which we live, and it fits into with the parameters, the guides of the Torah, so it's 100% permissible, provided that we're doing it to make the world a better place. Would that be true with intimacy also, Chanishlis?
Of course. Absolutely. The Talmud and the Torah in general, Jewish law, is not squeamish about anything to do with the body and the physical processes. There's no squeamishness, there's no discomfort whatsoever. In Hebrew, the way that the language is used, it's called Lashon Naki. It means clean language. It means that there a lot of times euphemisms are used, sometimes very beautiful poetic euphemisms are used, but everything is discussed in detail, and there's nothing that's verboten, but it's spoken about in the right time, in the right context. If a person has a question, they can always call a qualified rabbi who is extremely, extremely educated in these things. It will not be one bit uncomfortable. And it's considered a beautiful and holy thing. The question was asked once, a speaker once said, is intimacy good or bad? And so if it's good, we should maximize it. And if it's bad, we should keep away from it. And the audience was discussing back and forth, yes, no, what? And she finally said, it's not good and it's not bad, it's holy. And so during the times when people are allowed to be, when it's permissible to be together in a Jewish marriage, then it should be maximized. And when not, then not. But it should be maximized, and it's considered a good thing and positive, and it's important in Judaism. Marriage is considered a holy thing, and a healthy intimacy is considered healthy in the right context.
Mm-hmm. There is a major misconception which was perpetrated by various novels and books and, I don't know, other philosophy, sociologists, that Judaism considers a woman before she goes to the mikvah like unclean, like this really, really negative thing about it. There's books like The Red Tent, which I'm not endorsing at all because it's totally and completely wrong. But explain why that myth is not true, Shana.
It's because of the translation from the Hebrew words. The words in Hebrew have no proper translation into English. It just doesn't go. The word in Hebrew is tuma. There's tuma and tahara, and they are usually translated as pure and impure, or something that people believe that there is a some sort of a negative connotation here. But this is a very ancient misconception. It goes all the way back to Maimonides, who wrote hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He wrote, I'm quoting, "It is clear and obvious that tuma is not some adhesion of filth that can be removed with water, but a Torah decree, and it is dependent upon the intention of the heart." So it's simply a matter of, if you can imagine, if those that long ago people had the same misconception, people just have to learn a little bit and get a bit educated. There's no negative connotation to it at all.
That's awesome. I really appreciate that answer. So a woman goes to mikveh. This is called mikveh meditations. Would I be correct in assuming these are things that a woman should be thinking about as she's preparing and going to the mikveh chanishlus?
There is some of that, yes. There is some of that. Some of it is information for people who don't have a background at all, but it's really a book that anyone can learn from, and I also learned from it as I was in the process of editing, because some of the rabbis who were involved added pieces of quotations and pieces of information, and I learned from it too. So anyone on any level could gain from it. And yes, it contains meditations and things that people could think about as they're preparing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you give us an example maybe of what somebody should be thinking? If you want to put themselves in a holy state at this point?
A woman, let's give an example. I'll give you two quick examples. One mm-hmm. is of a woman who wants to have a child, and she is preparing for conception, and she's thinking. We look at a tree. If a tree was someone broke a branch off an adult tree, cut the branch off. So okay, they cut, maybe they were pruning it, whatever. If it's a young tree, a young sapling, then if someone broke a branch off, it would have a bigger effect. If someone took a seed and chipped the seed, it would have a big effect on what the tree would look like eventually. And conversely, if a person is preparing for the conception of a child, and they are maximizing the good and the positive and the holiness, then they are maximizing the future potential for the child, and this is something that they could be thinking about.
Okay.
And also you have a woman who perhaps didn't use the mikveh, and she has children, or maybe she's past her childbearing years and she would like to go one time. She could go one last time, and this could retroactively have a positive effect on her family.
That is amazing. A lot of misconception may come in with the idea of translating Tuma and Tara as clean and unclean. It comes to the fact that the way one becomes Tahar, which is translated as clean, is by immersing in a body of water. So it's like, it sounds like taking a bath. But what's the symbolism of water? Why is it that a person can't say, I don't know, do something else to purify themselves, like, I don't know, chop wood and schwitz everything out?
Water is, the person immerses themselves in water, and the word in Hebrew is tefila, and you take those same letters and rearrange them, and you have the word habitol, which means the nullification of the negative parts of the ego. And so a person immerses themselves in the water, and they're completely surrounded, and it's they're surrounded, and there's a renewal. It's like being in the womb, coming out of the womb again. It's the symbolism of spiritual cleansing. The person comes out, and many women feel a tremendous exhilaration when they leave the mikveh, when they step out of the mikveh. They experience the renewal. I've heard of it also with converts. experiencing that. And it's the there's something about this which I can't really explain it, but this is something that God commanded, but many people have, anecdotally said that they experienced this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to my grandmother, my bubby, who said if I want to be clean, I could always use a bathtub. You said the water has to be something, quote unquote, living water, rainwater, which has been collected, or spring water from a well or natural source. But all water basically comes from the same place. We all learned about the water cycle back in sixth grade, and water that's coming out of the pipe in your bathtub is also coming from some natural place. They haven't learned how to make artificial water yet.
The fact that it's a direct source is from the natural, that's from nature, that is important in Jewish law. This is not that it's been put into a container. And there are even places where people don't have rain. They bring in ice from other locations and let the ice melt, and they use that as their natural source.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying that the idea of keeping it natural, that putting it in some kind of a container, like even something like a reservoir or a metal pipe or something. Well, we know water used to get stagnant, but that's would be definitely the opposite of living water. But when we're saying living, we don't necessarily mean it has to be like fish in this. It's not like Tashlich where you have to see the fish. There's no fish swimming around in those little pools in these mikvahs, right?
Not really. It's filtered. It's clean. It's sparkling. Mikvahs are drained daily and scrubbed down. It's we don't see little fish. We don't see little anything. It's all very beautiful.
Okay. So now, what if you could sum up maybe what would be, let's say, listening to your pro last talking right now and going out and buying Mikvah Meditations by Hannah Schluss, woman feels inspired and she decides that she's going to take the plunge. What would be, I wonder if that's where the expression comes from. Anyway, but what would you say, some of the physical benefits and spiritual benefits for her and her family?
Physical benefits. One physical benefit is when a woman becomes in touch with her cycle and her body, this can lead to an improvement in her health. It has in the past led to people discovering, diagnosing diseases, God forbid. And so often doctors, gynecologists, are grateful if a woman is keeping this mitzvah, because it helps the doctor. It can help the doctors in certain situations. That's one. For her family, we're talking about when, as has been said, when a couple is close when they should be apart, they could be apart when they should be close. So the fact of there's a dignity, there's an increased respect that can come with the in a marriage, that can come with the keeping of going to the mikvah and the laws around it. And there is definitely no one takes each other for granted in this, because people may not always be available to each other. So there is a renewed appreciation and respect. This filters down the attitudes. If a husband and wife have these attitudes, these filter down to the children. This affects the entire family, and it affects the environment. It has a ripple, to use an expression, a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
That has a wider impact.
Indeed. And in fact, in Hebrew, it's not called Taras HaIsha. It's not called the purification of the woman. It's called Taras HaMishpacha, the purification of the entire family. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, that is going to wrap it up. Again, it is, the book is called Mikveh Meditations by Chana Schluss. Schluss is S-H-L-O-U-S-H. And it's published by mikveh.org and available wherever one buys books these days, online and wherever.
Also on Amazon.
Amazon. Kahoot Online is where I got my copy from. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank you so much for doing this and coming on the show and sharing insights into it, Chana Schluss.
Thank you so much, Herschel.
Okay. That's going to do it. We'll wrap it up. And thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker, and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Time for a little music. This is Simcha Friedman, who I think is somehow related to Avram Fried, Benny Friedman, that whole clan. The song is called Kol HaMisameach, anybody who makes a bride and groom happy. Very appropriate for what we were just talking about.
ולקראת הצהריים, ויד לבן ארבעים, יש לי רגע של שלווה, שיוצא מהשגרה, ששוב ושוב מזכיר לי, את שכל כך נהיר לי, רק עוד כמה דקות, שהופכות לנצחיות. אני חש את הרוח נושם, וניגש לחלקי ולשלך עליך, מבקש בקשה, ועונה בתפילה.
Come on, 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 come on
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This is the part where we play klezmer music. We haven't played klezmer music in quite a while because of the break, because of music. There is no a cappella klezmer music, which is really too bad. We have to probably put together some kind of ensemble of such. But for your listening pleasure, this is Daniel Hoffman, and the song is simply called Dojna, which I believe means is Hungarian for dance. Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Shulton, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. I really wanted to play a Mickey Katz song today. And I came across two. One of them was one which I had actually never heard. A very good reason. It was actually on a very obscure album. It was one of his last albums that he did. And it had on it two parodies, one of Hansel and Gretel, the other of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. They're mostly him talking with some klezmer music in the background and him making fun of these two fairy tales. I decided not to do it. Maybe I'll do it next week or in the future. I have to run it by our advisory committee because, first of all, it's a little on the longer side, and then it's like, okay. I mean, it was a lot funnier back when it was first released in 1961 because it was making fun of things that were happening then. So instead, this is Mickey Katz doing Come On to My House.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you take a laugh. Come on to my house, mine house, I'm gonna give you puppy chat, una piece of caliva. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to mine house, I'm gonna give you chicken fliggle and a luxin kegel. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, no function on. Come on to mine house, I'm gonna give you 2 cents plain. Come on, I'll give you grippiness. You slick him boy just like a stain. Mine hoys, I'm gonna give you matzi ball. Come on to mine hoys, I'm gonna give you Knishun fish on a glass will hear the call.
Hear the call?
Hi,
thank you. Come on to my hoys, come on. Come on to my hoys, come on. Come on in my house, mine house, I'm gonna give you a chimichung knadel, and I love your shape. Come on in my house, come on. Come on in my house, come on. Come on in mine house, I'm gonna give you a piece of wine. Come on in mine house, filessun, fressun, hackerein, hackerein, hackerein. Nous comme chien à rein, boubelé.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. This week's portion is one of the harder ones to say. It's called Bahalosecha. It is to be found at the beginning of chapter 8 of the book of Numbers and following, and contains in it many different themes, stories, and commandments. There's the lighting of the menorah by Aaron, and the Jews were commanded to keep the Passover sacrifice. in the desert once, and the second Passover sacrifice, which was done a month later. We're going to zoom in on something that comes after that. Was there, Moses was commanded of making the trumpets, which were for purpose of communication, to call people together. And there was the erecting and moving of the sanctuary in the desert, which, even though this is something which one might think has really little forbearance on them, has actually tremendous relevance for the year 2016. What was the deal? Wherever the Jews were camped, they had to erect the portable sanctuary. Now, this was no easy feat. It took hundreds of man hours to put the thing up. How long did it actually take to put them up? It could have taken a half an hour for them to put it up. But because there were a lot of people doing it, it's like the whole Levite clan was there on duty, ready, set, go. You're talking 22,000 workers ready to go. And ta-da-da. Now, they were told that when they camp, when they were told that they were following the cloud, this pillar, which was the cloud of glory, and when it was vertical, they were told that meant go, and when it was horizontal, that meant camp there. So I can understand setting up a sanctuary. If you're going to be there for a while, like there's one place, they were in Kadesh Barnea, actually, for 19 years, which when you think about it, we have the Jews wandering around the deserts. These weren't Bedouins following the goats. This was divinely decreed where they're going to go. And if you look at it, you'll see that in a period of 38 years, which is when the wandering really was, they traveled 38 different journeys. No, excuse me. They traveled 19 journeys, and one of those 19 journeys was for 19 years. So that meant in 18 years, they traveled 18 different places. So they're not really wandering around. It's at the behest of the Almighty. They needed to be wherever they needed to be for as long as they needed to be there, because there was something spiritual that needed to be accomplished by them being there. This was actually alluded to in last week's portion. Last week, in the portion of Nasai, there's a story of a suspect adulterous woman. And one of the things that was done is, in this process of investigating, is they would take dirt from the floor of the sanctuary, which, while there was a sanctuary there, this dirt was considered holy. It had to be treated with reverence. It wasn't just dirt. As soon as they moved away, the dirt was dirt. That's all it was. We have no problem now walking around the Sinai desert for fear of stepping on someplace where the sanctuary was. It doesn't matter, because once the sanctuary moved, it's done. We're finished with that place. We have done to that place what needed to be done. So there's no rhyme or reason that we know per se as to why each stop in the desert took as long as it did. So one spot was 19 years. That was the longest. The shortest, overnight. And here it is. What's the deal? Okay, it's getting on towards evening, and the pillar cloud turns sideways, turns vertical, horizontal. They spring into action, put together this structure, and the first thing in the morning after the morning sacrifice, the cloud turns vertical. They got to take the whole thing apart. Okay, so what did they accomplish? What was it that they did? The answer to this question is the same answer to a question a person might have now. We know that Messiah's coming is imminent. Jews believe Messiah is coming today. If that be the case, why do I have to do anything? There is a discussion actually in the books. What about life insurance? Do I need to take out a life insurance policy? I know, I fully believe Mashiach is coming today. What a waste of money to spend on things such as life insurance. The answer to these two questions is exactly the same. The Almighty has set forth a certain need for us to accomplish. You have people who have different talents and different capabilities. And a task for one person that might take a very short time, for another person might take a whole lot longer and involve a whole lot more effort. Bottom line is, when the two complete their tasks, what has happened? They've both completed their tasks. Done. We do not expect from anybody to do more than that which they are capable of. Okay, if you go to a hardware store and you buy a chain, and on the chain it says guaranteed to pull 200 pounds, and you hook this chain up and you start to pull 300 pounds and the chain breaks, you can't go back and say, hey, you sold me a defective chain. No, you used it the wrong way. The Almighty isn't giving us 300-pound loads if we're only expected to do 200-pound loads. The Almighty only gives us what we need to do. When we finish it, we go on to the next thing. So yes, indeed, the Jews stayed in Kadesh Barnea for 19 years because they needed to stay in Kadesh Barnea for 19 years to get ever accomplished what needed to be accomplished. The Jews spent only overnight in this one place because whatever needed to be accomplished was accomplished in one night. We are expecting the Messiah today. There are things which the Almighty has given us to accomplish that will only need to take today. And therefore, when we accomplish all the things that need to be accomplished, listen, Mashiach is waiting for something. God is waiting for something to give the high sign for Mashiach to reveal himself. It's that one thing that we can very easily accomplish today that is going to push Mashiach's coming. In a very simple way, what might that be? Well, what's going to bring the Messiah are acts of goodness and kindness. There's been a lot of talk this last week about the incident that happened in Orlando. And how is it that we, just as normal everyday people, counteract such acts of terrorism and brutality, barbarianism, is by doing exactly the opposite, by displaying love, kindness, gratitude. It could be a very simple thing, such as smiling to a person who held the door open for you, or smiling at the person for whom you are holding the door open. Such a little thing to you might seem insignificant, but to the Almighty, big and small is all the same size. That's what we need to do. And what we need to do right now is take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Exciting story. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, rabbifinman.com. You will find on the homepage a direct link which will send your email to my email address. And instantaneous. Email is fast. Zoom. You'll send me the letter, and most likely within 24 hours, if you're asking for a response, I personally will respond. I do that. I take the time. It's a very important thing. all the other things that I do in the course of a day, one of the things that I really spend special attention to are questions, inquiries, comments, and criticism that I receive from people like you. So anything you want to say, even if you just want to say hi, hello, I love you, that's also good. Oh, I love those. What else will you find on RabbiFinman.com? You'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find archived edition of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic Use story. These are all insights into the Torah in various media other than sound, which you're doing right now, which can be accessed at RabbiFinman.com. There's also classes that I've done. We're really coming up. We started at the beginning of a book called Tanya, which is the basic work on Hasidic philosophy, and we're getting on towards the end. We should be done, in less than a year. We'll be done with the whole book, which that may be a whole book. We're going through it very quite methodically, and I actually enjoy listening to the classes myself, to say so myself. You also find a very important donations page. We're in June's more than half over, and we're still looking to pay May. So, the people here at Salem Communications are very patient with us. The Jewish Hour has been on air for 20 years and counting. And every month we go through the same thing. We are definitely living from month to month to month. And sometimes we skip a month because we didn't make it that month and we have to make it up later. So we're coming into the dog days of summer, whatever dog days means. I guess it's when all the dogs are like lying outside and panting. It's time to make that step up to the plate, using a baseball analogy, and make that donation. Go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the donations page, click on whatever number you want, add your own number. There's lots of numbers out there in the universe. It's all very safe and secure, and you can even set it up that you don't even have to do it more than once because you can make it reoccurring. Even if it's $5 a month reoccurring, that's great. That's $60 a year. That's actually tremendous. So do that. Don't like doing internet giving? I understand. Send your donation, any amount, to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Do it today. We have one public service announcement, which we're going to have to, I think, leave till next week, that in the Reuther Library next Sunday, we're going to have her on the show, they have a display, 25 treasures from the Jewish Archive over 25 years at the Reuther Library on Wayne, starts at 11 o'clock and goes to 1 o'clock. It's the opening next Sunday, right in the middle of the show, yes. And the exhibit will be there from the 27th through the middle of August, and we will have a representative from the archive on the show next week. Stay tuned for that next week at 11 o'clock. Okay, so here's a parable. People are running around now. You see there's all kinds of deer crossing. There's all kinds of deer getting hit. So animals are getting killed all over the place. So it once happened that a lion was traveling with her cub, and the lion got killed. Lioness got killed. And the cub was left orphaned. And the cub was wandering around hungry, little tiny cub, still nursing, and it came upon a flock of sheep. And one of the sheep who had lost a lamb, noticed this cub and started to nurse the cub. And so here it is, this cub was enlivened by the sheep. And this sheep, being the mother now, this lion thinks it's his mother, this lion is growing up as a proper sheep. Learned how to stay with the fold and eat grass. One day, a lion came upon, and had to run away from lions. One day, a lion came upon the flock and saw this lion there and said, "Wow, that's a really smart lion. It's pretending it's a sheep. I get it. It could get lamb chops anytime." Okay? And he sees it's just standing there. It's just totally, completely confusing. The lion lets out a roar. And all the sheep take off. And this lion sheep also runs away. The lion runs after the sheep. Lion sheep. Totally perplexed. And tackles it. And the lion says, "Please don't eat me, Mr. Lion. I'm a good sheep. Don't." And he says, "What are you talking about?" And he schlepped this lion to the water. And said, "Look at your face. Look at mine. You're the same. You're a lion." That's the parable. What are you talking about? Last week was the giving of the Torah. What it did, one of the symbols of Judaism is the lion. It made us into lions. We have the responsibility and the power that goes with that responsibility. We're not sheep. We're not just supposed to fall in line. That's going to do it. I'm going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.